couple of you this morning. Psalm 119 is an amazing section of the Bible. And as we turn our attention this week to healthy teaching, that is my assignment for the next couple of days. I appreciate that and appreciate the invitation to be with you and the opportunity to be with you. It is so good to see so many of you. Got to connect with many of you again last night, but it's good to see all of you this morning. I'd like to begin just by exploring this idea of what makes God's teaching healthy. And as Kevin mentioned, we've got a very limited amount of time here, and so I'm just going to really be primarily in two passages of Scripture with you this morning. But I'd like to start in Psalm 119. It is the longest psalm in the Bible. You probably know that already right off the top of your head. The Bible's longest chapter. Also probably the most carefully constructed of all of the chapters in the Bible. Don't know if you know this or not. It has 22 different stanzas. Each of those stanzas has 8 verses. And within each one of those stanzas, the first word of each verse begins with the same letter. And so we don't see that in our English translations, but if we were reading it in the language that it was written, we would see verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 119, all beginning with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And verses 9 down through verse 16, the second letter, all the way through. Really, we would say from A to Z, Psalm 119, from A to Z. And it is all about God's Word. The entire thing is about how amazing is it that there is a God who has created everything, and not only created everything, but has spoken to mankind, revealed something to mankind. And so throughout its 176 verses, you read words like law over and over again, and testimonies, and precepts and statutes and commandments and rules and word. I'd like to begin with you in verse 89, Psalm 119 and verse 89. And just notice as we lay the groundwork for this little series this week, what makes God's teaching healthy? What do we mean by that? Why is that? And it has to begin, at least in my mind, with this idea. God's Word is true. Your Bible open there to Psalm 119. Look at verse 89, where the psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." God's Word doesn't change. It doesn't decay. It's not subject to rust or just withering away. God's Word is true. And that word can mean a lot of different things. One of them that it means is it's not going anywhere. It's there. We can depend upon it. Look a few verses later in Psalm 119, verse 96, where the psalmist says, "I have seen a limit to all perfection." And you just pause there for a moment and think about what he's saying. 3,000 years ago, I mean, these people were able to create and maintain some amazing things. But the psalmist realized everything that we make is subject to decay and crumbling and eventually fading away. But not God's Word. God's Word is true. It's firmly fixed. And there isn't any limit to its perfection. 3,000 years later, we make some things that amaze us, right? Things that we depend on, bridges that we drive across wide spans over, things that we spend a lot of money to acquire. You probably have an amazing little computer somewhere on your person or in your purse that is able to do amazing things, right? And when you first unbox that new iPhone or whatever it is, it feels perfect, right? No scratches, no dents. You move into a brand new house or you drive a brand new car off the lot and it feels perfect. But it doesn't take very long, especially if you have kids, for things not to be perfect anymore, right? Not God's word. This is different. This is distinct. One more along these lines. Psalm 119 verse 160. Psalm 119 verse 160. The sum of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous rules endures forever. We're going to be talking about healthy teaching this week, and we'll show here in just a little while where that phrase is coming from in the New Testament. We're starting off with, well, what makes it healthy? Number one, it's true. You can't believe everything that you hear in 2019. Everything that you see on the internet is not true. Everything that you watch on YouTube, not everything is true. We can't trust everything that we hear from politicians. We can't trust everything at time we hear from teachers or professors or whomever it may be. Sometimes we can't even trust our own eyes, right? There are magazine covers that are photoshopped and news stories that can be twisted in a variety of different ways. But when we talk about God's word, we're talking about what is true. You've spent 10 months laying a very healthy foundation as to why you can trust what is in this book. Go back with me to verse 75. Let's add another layer here. God's word is true, and God's word leads to what is right. And this morning we're just allowing Psalm 119 to remind us of these facts. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Think about what he's saying there. Sometimes God steps on our toes, right? Sometimes God afflicts us. Sometimes he gets our attention in ways that is not pleasant, right? And we've got lots of examples in the Bible of that fact. Even today, as we open God's word, sometimes it can be uncomfortable to hear what he is telling us. But listen to the heart behind the pleasant things to hear and sometimes the painful things to hear. It's true. He loves us enough to tell us the truth, and it's right. He is seeking to lead us in ways that are right. So go over to verse 128, Psalm 119 and verse 128. Listen as the psalmist continues. Verse 128, therefore I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. It's just two verses in the midst of 176. But do you see the potential progression there? Sometimes God is on the right side and I'm not. And God steps on my toes because that's what I need. But as he leads me to what is right, he teaches me to recognize what's true and false, what's right and wrong, what's helpful and what's hurtful. To the point that now I'm able to recognize that, and maybe he can use me to help someone else grow to see what is true, what is right. Verse 137 of the same chapter. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. Notice how it's more than just look at what the rules are. These rules are right. The rules are really pointing us to the one who is right. The one who loves us enough to tell us what we need to hear. Go back with me to verse 1, Psalm 119 and verse 1. What makes God's teaching healthy? What's our foundation and why this foundation? Well, God's word is true. God's word leads to what is right. And God's word provides what is good. We could spend the rest of the week just right there, but notice just a sampling with me. Do you want to be happy? Really happy. With the sword of joy that no matter what comes, the outward circumstances can't touch it. Well, that's Psalm 119 verses 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed, or we could just as easily render that into English, happy. Happy are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Do you want to avoid shame in life? Look at verse 6. I shall not be put to shame. How? Why? Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. This is true. This is right. It's leading me to what is right. It is providing me what is good. And so if I will listen, not only I find the path to happiness, I find a path that is leading me away from shame. In verse 9, do you want to keep your way pure? How can a man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 24, do you want to know the way that you ought to go? Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Do you need strength for really tough days or weeks or months or seasons of life? In verse 28, my soul melts away for sorrow. God doesn't sugarcoat that sometimes there are really tough times that we go through, right? But look at the second part of the verse. Strengthen me according to your word. Notice, it is so very basic. But the reason that we are spending the next few days talking about this, strength is available. Sometimes life is really, 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 really hard, right? And strength is available according to God's word. Healthy teaching. Do you need a dose of hope? Look down at verse 43. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. God's word is worth listening to. Turn over to verse 98, Psalm 119, verse 98. Do you need wisdom as maybe you're spreading your wings for the first time and stepping out into adult life? Do you need wisdom because you just got married and suddenly realized this isn't as easy as other people have made it look? Do you need wisdom because you just had a child and you're scared out of your mind? I mean, on and on and on. It goes, right? Do you need wisdom? In verse 98, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Again, it's very basic, but do you see what's going on there? God has spoken. I have a heart to keep what he has said. I want it to be ever with me. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to walk in it. And the path that I'm led in is wisdom. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you need to know the way that you ought to go? Here's the lamp, or in the language of verse 130, Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Our task over the course of the next few days is to talk about healthy teaching. Well, why this book, Psalm 119, presents itself as Exhibit A? God's word is true. God's word leads to what is right. God's word provides what is good. Now, obviously, at the heart of everything that we're doing here over the course of the next few days is, this is about much more than let's open what is right and true and good and listen politely for a little while and then close it and go about our lives expecting something magical to happen. And already, if you've been paying attention, you've heard, well, that's not how it works. Right? Maybe life in some respects would be a little easier if I just open the book at the right time and I read it, or I have someone else read it to me, and now suddenly everything is the way that it ought to be in my heart. But it's not like that. And so go back with me to Psalm 119 verse 103. Psalm 119 verse 103. It is one thing for God to tell us what his word is. It is another thing for us to have the response that we ought to have. Psalm 119 verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. I hope that that is how you feel about God's word. And if it is not, I hope that over the course of the next few days, we can nudge you in the direction where you would taste and you would see that this is true and this is good and this is right. And the reason is because the one behind it, the one whose heart has been revealed and captured and preserved for us, he is good. Do we always understand him? No. Do we always understand why he has done what he has done? No, we don't. But that's the way parenthood oftentimes works, right? That we do our best to be good and to teach our children, even if you don't understand right now why, I need you to trust the heart behind the rules, the heart behind the laws, the heart behind the commandments. And the more that we see him and listen to him, and the more that we grow to trust him, the more our desire for what he has revealed grows. And now we're on the path, right? Now we're on this path where we desire to know what is good and what is right and what is true. And the more we read and the more we hear and the more we study, in the language of verse 111, Psalm 119 verse 111, your testimonies are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. That's my prayer for you, that God's word would be the joy of your heart. That God has created your heart with the capacity to find joy in all sorts of things, right? And that's wonderful. A wonderful aspect of creation. Who you are, created in His image, that children can bring you great joy and sunsets can bring you great joy and the changing of leaves can bring you great joy and spending time with loved ones can bring you great joy. But above everything else, if you lost all of that and you still have this and the one behind this, I have delight that nothing else can take away. And because of that, you go with me to Psalm 119 verse 31. We're just following the psalmist in adding layer after layer. God's word is true, and God's word leads to what is right, and God's word provides what is good, and that captures my heart, and it creates within me a desire for His word. And the more that I seek to satisfy that desire, the more delight I find in His word, and the more delight that I find, the more I depend upon it. Psalm 119 verse 31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. Or verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. That is amazing. And there are times that our eyes grow dim and our ears get drowned out with all sorts of noise, and as a result our hearts grow dull. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. And we need to be reminded of the fundamentals. In a world of lies, this is true. In a world gone wrong in every direction, this is right. In a world of so much hurt and confusion and heartache and danger and fear, this is good. And so am I giving it the hearing that it deserves? That my desire for it would be a greater desire than anything else. I want it more than I want sin. I want to delight in it more than I want to delight in any of my feeble accomplishments. And I'm going to depend on it more than I depend on myself or anyone or anything else. That's what makes it healthy teaching. Now, before we're done, I told you two passages of scripture. Go with me to the second in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Perhaps a passage that we as New Testament Christians are much more familiar with. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This phrase, sound teaching or healthy teaching, that we're going to camp on throughout this week, the next 4 days. That comes from inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul. He says it to Timothy. He says it to Titus. As I understand it, we're kind of kicking the ball off for the rest of your year this weekend by talking about healthy teaching, sound doctrine. How would someone in all good conscience say, what God is delivering through me is healthy teaching, and you need to build the rest of your life on it? Well, I would suggest to you, here's the cornerstone. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God. If God is good, what He has breathed out is good. That makes sense, right? If God is right, what God has breathed out is right. If God is perfectly true, what God has breathed out is true. And I want you to notice how practical this gets. What he's breathed out is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, if you've spent any time around the Bible, any time in settings like this, you've heard that a lot of times, right? We've got some very young people in this room right now. And so what I'd like to do is to try and show you in the most basic of terms what I think the Holy Spirit through Paul is saying. All scripture, it comes from God and it's good for us. In what way? Well, it's good for teaching. What's that mean? God shows us what is right. Not only that, all scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching and it is profitable for reproof. Not only does God teach me what is right, God looks at certain things and says, you know what? That's not right. And now I have a heart to teach you that you ought not go there. And if you do go there, all scripture is breathed out by God and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction. And so God not only teaches me what is right, he not only teaches me what is not right, when I've made a mess of things, he teaches me how to get right. And it is profitable for training in righteousness. He teaches me how to stay right. We're beginning with basics this morning. But those basics are absolutely profound. And they form the foundation of everything that we're talking about. Not only throughout the day, but Lord willing, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Why in 2019 should I listen to what someone wrote 2,000 years ago about what it means to be a man? What it means to be a woman? What it means to be married? Why should I listen from 4,000 years ago? What God had to say about what life is all about and where I've come from and why I'm here and where I'm going and how I ought to spend my time. And why should I listen to these calls from thousands of years ago, people I've never met on the other side of the globe, telling me that I have to take a back seat and deny myself and put the will of someone that I've never met ahead of myself? Why should I believe any of this? Why should I believe that Jesus really lived and really died and was really buried and really raised and build my life on something that I'm being told happened on a first day of the week just like this 2,000 years ago? Why should I empty all of the rocks of my life and put these big rocks in first and then orient everything around them? Well, here's the claim. God is good. God is true. God is right. The reason you are this morning is because God wills you to be so. And he's not only there, but he's spoken. And what he has spoken is right and good and true. And now here we are in 2019 in Central Ohio. And we're dedicating the next couple of days to healthy teaching. But we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about John Maxwell or Dave Ramsey or Donald Trump or whoever it is that you want to talk about, whatever New York Times bestseller, has recently been written or is on the New York Times bestsellers list or is coming, we're going to open our Bibles to ancient truth for this reason. What God has taught us, He's teaching us to be right. And sometimes He reproves us and steps on our toes because He wants us to see what isn't right. And sometimes He's willing to correct us in order to help us get right. And He's training us in order to help us stay right. I've got it. If you've been following along in this little handout for the morning in the bottom right hand corner, the big idea. God has given us His word, not just to keep us close to the rules. The rules matter, right? I mean, we started in Psalm 119 with, there are all of these words, law and testimonies and precepts and statutes and commandments and rules and word. But the goal is about more than simply sticking close to the rules. God has given us His word that we might stick close to Him. He is good. He is true. He is right. And as we open our Bibles, for instance, to Titus chapter 2, you can turn over there very quickly. We'll spend much more time, Lord willing, over the course of the next couple of days. But you see, I hope, the connection to where we're going. Where you're going to be going throughout the rest of November and December, having laid the foundation of trusting the Bible and trusting Jesus and trusting God's way of describing life the way it's meant to be, right? Well, it's no wonder then that in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says to Titus, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine or healthy teaching. And he moves into older men. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach, notice, what is good. They don't come up with it. They don't define good. They've been shown it, and they teach it. And so they train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. God, our Savior, is true and right and good. He has shown us what is true and right and good. And now it is up to us to take that, to adorn our lives with that, that we might draw the attention of others to the God who is good and right and true. I'm looking forward to our few days together. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you all, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for being here this morning.